Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups.
Nick, would you be able to tell our listeners who you are and what you do for Curricula and how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. I am Nick Santora, the founder and CEO behind Curricula. And essentially, we teach companies how to not get hacked. So we've developed kind of a new approach to teach employees how to defend themselves from the bad guys through storytelling. So instead of a death by PowerPoint training that you go through every year, we have kind of this whole narrated series of episodes with characters, like heroes and villains and stories that you watch and enjoy. And then we also have some software that can track all this stuff and sends out some simulated attacks and just different things to keep employees on their toes.
I think it's quite a smart way what you've done to convey knowledge in a very creative way. And that death by PowerPoint really resonated with me, because I think we've all been in those situations where there's knowledge, which I'm sure is very vital and very useful, but if it's conveyed in the dullest way, or even not necessarily the dullest way, but just a way that just doesn't resonate with the audience you're trying to get through to, then yeah, it's just going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste of time. You know, it's just a bunch of slides on a PowerPoint. It's like, no one cares about that.
Yeah, exactly. So when and why did Curricula first get started with PR?
Right from the beginning, actually. So I used to work for the federal regulator here in the United States for the North American Power Grid. So it was an agency called NERC. And, you know, I was there for about 7 years. So when starting Curricula, it was basically I had to leave that agency in order to do what I'm doing now. And that required a big pump of, you know, news. Where did I go? Why did I go there? So that weekend when I quit, we spun up a website really quick and launched. And from that moment, the goal was, I got to keep hyping people up on what we're building and what we're doing. So a lot of what we did every week was incentivizing and kind of filling people in on why they should pay attention to us. And yeah, that was what we did for the whole first several months, was just keep people in the loop.
Nice. Out of interest, do you remember your first PR result, or when you first remember receiving a result through your PR efforts and thinking like, oh, awesome, this is great?
Yeah, we did our first, what was the first day, we did an actual true PR release, a paid PR release of former NERC employee launches, you know, NERC training company. And that stuck out pretty well. We had a lot of hits to the website. We were kind of watching it like, you know, one of those like little dashboards with stuff on screens and TV with like charts and stuff. We're like, oh, isn't this cool? And it was just, yeah, that was our first taste of, you know, what it takes, because day two, all that buzz died down.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, now we got to keep this momentum going.
Yeah. And I think what the approach you've taken with telling stories to convey your message is really great. And I really want to get into that. But first, I'd really love to talk about your industry and understand what it's been like seeking PR in a cybersecurity industry like yourself. And I know that different industries have different opportunities to shine in the media when it comes to PR. For example, in the cybersecurity industry, newsjacking could be an incredibly useful tactic following a large hack in the media. Have you found that there are other benefits or drawbacks which are unique to PR in your industry of cybersecurity?
Yeah, it's a good question. When we, our first big PR hit after that launch was, we actually got into a physical print industry magazine on, and I'll never forget it because I have the same birthday as Elon Musk, and I look up to him, June 28th. So he was on the cover. I had a piece in there that I reached out digitally and got that. So from there, I kind of looked at that of, well, each industry has its own thing they want to talk about. When you look at cybersecurity, it applies to every industry. So, mm-hmm. you know, originally as a company, we worked with a lot of utilities, you know, like gas and electric, big utilities, and since then have expanded to other industries. And one thing, you know, you mentioned the newsjacking, you know, when an article comes out on whatever topic, everyone writes about that topic. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. One thing that we've done is every time we write for a piece or have an approach, we always talk about how is everyone else going to answer this? And we don't do that. We do anything we can to not say what every other person's going to say. And that has gotten us a lot of attention and a lot of responses from reporters to get included on these pieces of articles.
Nice. Out of interest, do you have any examples that come to mind of that, of where you've kind of taken a unique approach to newsjacking?
Yeah. So like, for example, the coronavirus, I mean, popular example. Mm-hmm. What's happening is like everyone's writing the same thing. Hackers are bad. Hackers are taking advantage of this. Hackers are blah, 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 blah. So for us, that was, you know, given the uniqueness of our software, we actually made an answer for that. So instead of just talking about the bad, it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? No one was talking about that. So with all the remote working, we actually made a simulation that looked like a World Health Organization email, as well as a fake stimulus check here in the United States, that attracted people to pay attention to us because we were giving them something in return. And because of that, that was a way that we kind of used newsjacking in our favor to give something that was relevant, but actually was useful for our audience.
Yeah, that's great. Creative way of looking at it. I think that would have got my attention, to be honest, as well.
Okay. But,
and on to another PR success that I know you had. I saw your story in Hypopotamus, which stated that Curricula is now offering a free coronavirus phishing test to companies so that employees can avoid being victims of bad actors looking to take advantage during vulnerable times. What impact did this PR coverage have on your business? And did many companies reach out for this service?
Yeah. So once we saw that, we're like, man, we should just keep this momentum going and see what else attention we can get. So we had some local reporters reach out and say, hey, we want to write an article on that. So that's the article you saw. We did get a lot of attention because not only are we in the local news, that started to branch out to others who have, you know, are networked with others on LinkedIn that also saw that. So we're a local company here in Atlanta, but our reach is global. Software company. So we have people signing up all over the place from all over the world and telling us how powerful that free offering was, you know, because there's a lot of people that were using coronavirus as a crutch to give something else out that wasn't relevant. For example, because of coronavirus, we're going to give you a free report out of some tool. It's like, well, that doesn't have any correlation to each other.
Yeah.
So we were able to use something that was directly related to coronavirus to directly have input on your own business. And that is what attracted people to actually, you know, interact with the offering, which was really good.
Yeah. And you really are giving something which is of value there. And I think that's one important thing in PR that people often forget is when they think that their product is the be all and end all, the bee's knees or whatever, then they think that that alone, like just offering this news, is interesting enough for one, the journalists to pick up on it, and two, the readers to engage with it. But in this instance, you did offer something. You offered it to help, and it was valuable. So I definitely think that's a smart move and definitely an important component in order to achieve the top PR results that you can. Yeah. So yeah. Well done there.
it was fun, you know, and it was fun to hear that even some of the reporters that were talking with us, they said, people can see through the noise, you know, like these things get impressions, but they don't get conversions. And it's like, what you guys did is you were there on both sides and you actually made something that was true to the voice you were offering. And that worked, you know, it made us feel good and it actually worked for the industry too.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/LSPromo. Now moving further away from like
PR and cybersecurity generally and more onto your business. I'd love to understand more, first of all, and this probably should have been covered earlier on, so apologies, like how does your business work? And then I'd love to get into the storytelling side of things that you've incorporated. But first of all, like how does Curricula work essentially?
Yeah. Pretty straightforward. So we're a software company, so no one's flying around or doing this. Everything's inside software. And you can kind of think of it like a Netflix kind of model where mm-hmm. a company will purchase a subscription to Curricula. So someone like an IT director or a chief information security officer. And with that purchase, they have access to all of our tools inside of the software. And what they'll do is they'll pick different episodes, so different training topics that apply to their organization and their employees. They'll pick when they want to launch those episodes. So they'll kind of set a schedule for them to release throughout the year. And then they turn on notifications and let it do its thing. So every month, employees will get new episodes, new content delivered to them. They can go in and watch those episodes, learn from those episodes, and then more importantly, apply the knowledge they learn from those episodes to their daily lives. And that's all great, you know, from the training component, but there's also this really cool thing I mentioned on the phishing simulator. So the phishing mm-hmm. simulator allows you to simulate a cyber attack with your employees in a safe, trusted environment with us. And what we'll do is, as a company, you can go in there and pick different scenarios that may apply to you. Anything such as a fake LinkedIn connection to a, you know, a fake, you just receive money through Venmo, all the way down to things that look really realistic as a phishing email. You pick the audience you want to send it in your company and you hit a button. And we fire out these simulated attacks to your employees and see which ones may or may not fall victim to that attack and then track all that on the back end. So as a company, you're essentially predicting who's going to cause the next cyber attack by actually simulating it with your employees. And then we give them the insight and training to learn how to defend against those in the real world.
Yeah. I can imagine making it a game, like they got to buy a round of beers for everyone, the first person to fall for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's real. And you know, the beauty of it is like, you don't want your first experience of a cyber attack to be a real one.
Yeah. Right?
That's the reason why, you know, soccer players practice. That's the reason why baseball players practice, because they don't just walk into a game and start swinging.
You know, yeah,
they have some practice ahead of time, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think it's one thing that should be considered is that most people overlook how complex and intricate that these emails, these phishing scams can be. I actually remember back in the UK, I used to work for an IT vendor, and one of the services that we sold was cybersecurity. And I remember one day receiving an email in my own personal email address. And it was like one of those, like, oh, a purchase has been made on Amazon. And I was like, what is this? And I, at first glance, I was almost taken by it. But then I looked further and I realized that it had all the symptoms of a phishing scam. But I also thought to myself, like, right, I'm someone that works in IT. I like sell cybersecurity. And like, this almost tricked me up. Like, so that really showed to me that like these hackers really do spend a lot of time and energy and effort to really trip up these people. So it's definitely an essential skill to be able to understand and recognize these threats. So like you said, when it does happen, it's not something that is irreversible or it impacts you personally or a business. So yeah, I definitely see the necessity for these skills. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can't learn without practice. So, you know, we're here to be that story ahead of time so they don't have to have the real one. But yeah, these are not getting any easier. So the hackers are essentially making these things quicker. The barrier to entry to send out attack is so low, and it works. I mean, it causes majority of breaches are caused by us. It's not robots fighting each other. It's us doing silly things and making mistakes, and that's how they're getting in.
Yeah. And on the topic of the storytelling element that you've added to this, I think that's really interesting. I've mentioned this on the show before. In fact, I had an episode previously on the importance of storytelling in PR. And I mentioned this before, but it really does resonate with me. And it's something that has stayed with me for so long. I remember I was being told about how we process information and how essential storytelling is to help you recall information. And I was actually presented with two facts. funnily enough, I can't remember the first one, and it was presented in its most basic form, like this equals this because of this, or this because of this. No story related to it, just a simple fact. The second one was that I think it was Earl Duke of Sandwich, a town in the UK, many, many years ago, to stop his hands getting greasy from eating meat while playing cards, he used to put two slices of bread in between the piece of meat, and he'd eat it like that. And that's apparently how we have sandwich today. So I remember that story, and I remember that fact, assuming it's true, quite simply because of that story. And the other fact, I don't remember. So I think what you're doing here by incorporating a story with the information that you're sharing is has to be very beneficial. And I'm interested to know more about the stories and about the characters, because I know that you mentioned that you used Didi, a fictitious five-year-old hacker who represents all the cybersecurity threats to an organization. Like, would you be able to tell us more about how that works?
Yeah, you're right on with the Earl of Sandwich. I mean, that's inspiration for week one of when we were starting, of how this stuff works scientifically. And I think us as a business, we were really into that. We're like, oh, everyone's going to love hearing about that. And for the most part, we're battling people that are just delivering PowerPoints. Mm. And it's like, our job was to convince them that no one's going to remember slide 67 on a PowerPoint deck. They're not, they just don't. Your brain physically doesn't work that way. We're not computers, but they do recall stories in a narrative format. So that's all we did. You know, there's not a lot of science behind the delivery of what we're doing. The creativeness is what really brought it to life. So our team is made mostly of people that are not cyber experts, people that came from the creative industry, work in New York. And Joe and Daniel and Don on our team, they're the whizzes that are thinking up all these crazy stories. So right at the beginning, we created this, you know, we looked at the persona of like what people perceive hackers to look like. And it's always the guy in a dark room wearing a hoodie. And, you know, it's just like, that is so bad. It's just stock imagery, you know, 101. Yeah. And we're like, what do we do the exact opposite of that? And literally Don drew up a five-year-old girl, says she's going to be the hacker. She's the one. So that's what stuck. We're like, all right. So we made that, we put her into episodes, and you kind of watch her beat people up, you know, digitally, because she's the hacker. She fishes people, and she's kind of this, you know, cute little girl that you think is innocent, but she's the one hacking everyone. And for whatever reason, that character just took off and people loved her. They talked about Didi, you know, by the water cooler, and they're like, oh, I don't want to click on that email. That's going to be Didi on the other end of it. And it started to bring on a life of its own. So when we were building the phishing simulator in the phishing tool, the software is actually run by Didi conceptually. Mm. So when you get caught as an employee and you click on a link you shouldn't have, it's Didi on the other end of that link saying, I got you. So now that brings it full circle as an employee, the experience, you're no longer just clicking on a bunch of buttons in a software. You're getting hacked by a little five-year-old girl. So that brings the whole thing to life, where you say, I'm not going to click on anything because it might be Didi on the other end of it. And man, that has been our claim to fame, is that we have just made this whole experience more relatable, more fun, and exciting for people to participate in, and it works.
Yeah, I can see, and no one wants to be tricked or hacked by a five-year-old girl, so that's gonna be embarrassing. Yeah. So moving back towards like cybersecurity and PR in general, my last question to you: what advice would you give to other cybersecurity businesses looking to get better PR coverage?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's made us stand out is just by being ourselves. And as a company that is fun, that has a five-year-old cartoon that's hacking people, people tend to take this so serious to the point where it's like, you just can't have fun anymore. And for us, like, just because a subject such as cybersecurity is so serious doesn't mean it can't be fun. So I think when others look at that, it's one, trying to find your inner brand or yourself to talk about this stuff in a way that is more relatable to people. And also being different, like there's a reason your company exists. So talk about that, take an approach that isn't the same old from everyone else. And you'll wind up with better results than just copying the crowd and doing the safe play.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think like in most cases, when it comes to business or just PR, taking a unique angle or a niche approach is very advantageous for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to love you, but you know, the people that do, they will. So focus on those people.
100%. And Nick, if people do want to follow you and keep up to what you're doing and you folks are doing at Curricula or just generally just check out DD, how can they do that? Have you got social media? Is there a site you want to point them to?
Yeah, we can. All of our Twitter and social is just at Curricula is the name. And then if you want to go check out our website, watch one of these episodes, follow DD and her adventures, it's www.getcurricula.com.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.